السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. This Saturday morning, it is now time for the program known as Screaming Reels. Well, just a bit of a flu still this week, and hopefully, inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala clears that up soon. Lovely weather out there today, and indeed, the weather is warming up and looks like it is excellent weather for fishing. It's not like you're going to get any better than this year. So, Luqman said the week before, I think night's that time where you should have been starting to take out the tackle, starting to clean them up. And by now already you should be ready, or if not, going out already on your trips with the families and trying your best to enjoy the fishing out there. So today's lineup, inshallah, Ali is not going to be joining us for today. He has some workshop that he did mention last week, if I'm not mistaken. We're going to be speaking to Brother Luqman Mia as well as Brother Farooq Hassan. And also, for our listeners out there, 011-854-1548 is the number to dial. There is 011-854-1548. We would like for you to share with us if you have been out already for this season. If you have been out already for this season, fishing after the month of Ramadan, it's a few weeks that have lapsed by now. Surely you must have been out on the waters trying the new bait, trying a new rod, trying the new reels. Let us know how it was, or if you have any plans, if you have any trips planned for this weekend or for the coming weekends, or if you have any reports locally, on the shores, internationally, please do call us and let us know. That is
011-854-1548. فانت البعيد اللي عيوني تمناك عذري الى من جاك والعذر مني ويقبل معاذيري كريم نشروه يقبل معاذيري كريم نشروه الليالي والزمان امتحني لصد بي وقتي فانا ما اقدر انساك ونصد بك وقتك عساك امتهني فانت البعيد اللي عيوني تمنى وانا عذرك لا غبت وابطيت عني مر اتصل بي واتصل بك ولا اكفاك خليك على خبري على حسن ظني لين الزمان الصعب يسمح بلقياك لين الزمان الصعب يسمح بلقياك ومحبة في الله مليون يني ما تعدل الجمعة على الحق وياك ندري اني ضبت وابطيت واني مصبر على فرقاك وان ضبت منساك
ينام الطفل في وطني أعانقه بأحلامي ونصل الموت يسبقني إليه بخنجر دام فيذبحه ويذبحني وتنزف معه أيامي وأغزل بعده كفني وأدفن معه أقلامي وأنقش نجمة حمراء بدمي فوق أعلامي وأصرخ عشت يا وطني حرا عاليا سامي أمين الشام أسمعه فتلهبني شراييني وبغي الظلم أصرعه حاشا اليوم يثنيني فمن قصف على بيت إلى ذبح بسكين يموت الطفل في وطني وصمت القوم يكويني فيا رب ثبتنا وأيدنا بتمكيني لنعلي صرح أمتنا ونرجع مجد حطين فعهدا شامنا إنا نقاتل من يعاديك ونحيا فيك أحرارا وبالأرواح نفديك فيا شام الفدا صبرا فحر الجيش يحميك ويوم الوقعة الكبرى
Screaming Reels on Radio Islam, casting you into the exciting world of fishing.
Welcome back to Radio Islam International. 20 minutes past 8. Well, unfortunately, our sponsor for the program, Brother Rukman, we are saying that this week he's not going to be joining us on the program. Next week, he will be with us on the airwaves of Radio Islam International. Well, for today, we're just going to take you through a few steps tips. This is more for beginners, on carp fishing this is. And what should a person do before they start? Now, one of the best carp catching tips is to spend time going around finding the fish before you set up. So, not something that you rush into, something that you be impatient about, but rather you bring yourself to the dam, get there and try to locate the best spot for your fishing. And this is now across the board, not only for your carp fishing, but any sort of fishing. You've got to get the best spot. You've got to know exactly where you're fishing, the reason behind that area. And one good way is to wear this polarized sunglasses that you get, because these glasses actually help to cut a lot of the glare from the water, and this will save you a lot of time, because once you go out there to the water, naturally with that glare, especially if it's a really hot day and the sun is full on the water, it makes it like virtually impossible to see beneath the surface of the water, so it makes it quite difficult. So make sure you just look at the weather report before you head out, see any changes in the weather pattern, for example, a sudden drop in the temperature, change of direction in the wind, and of course, like I said, go out there with those polarized sunglasses so that it cuts out a lot of the glare from the water, and this could make it much easier for you. Now, many people ask, when you're going out, especially for your carp fishing, do you aim for the biggest, or what intention, or what reason do you go out with? So, depending on the type of expectation that you have for your trip at that time, there would always be a different outcome that can be achieved. So, you set yourself a goal that is realistic. You don't put yourself in a position where you're going to be disappointed in your catch. And remember always one thing, it's called fishing, not catching. The only reason, because you're not guaranteed any catch, you're not guaranteed your size, you don't know exactly, and if you're going to go with your intention that I know I need to catch so many, and this is the sizes, you're going to come back not a happy guy, you're going to come back very, very disappointed. So, some days you're going to catch some big monsters out there. Others, it's just going to be a bit of a bad day for you. So just remain positive and never try to compete with one another by setting yourself up with realistic expectations. This undoubtedly will give you much more enjoyment wherever you're going to go for your fishing. So like I said, it depends on the day. It depends what happens on that day, the conditions, the temperature of the water, all of this take into consideration. And also, remember, what's important is what you should take with you in terms of your clothing. You don't want to get, especially if you're going to go out carp fishing and you're wading in, whilst you're out there, your clothing are going to get dirty, your clothing are going to get wet. Now you'll jump back into vehicle and you're saying, hey, I don't have anything extra. Now you're waiting on the side to dry up. All of this unnecessarily, rather take an extra set of clothing with you. If you have never had to deal with it, then remember, even if it means just jumping in the sleeping bag, this is really, really going to be very, very bad. You don't jump into the sleeping bag and your clothing is all wet or you're uncomfortable at that time. So always take that extra set of clothing with you. And remember, try to take with you that which dries very quickly. So if by chance, you never know, you're going to get that extra set of clothing wet as well. Before you know it, it's going to be dry. Like I said, the polarized sunglasses is very important. Never forget to take that sun hat on the top out with you. Remember, you're going to always go that extra mile. Never be lazy. Never just sit back and think to yourself, listen, it's happening. You're going to move around from spot to spot to make sure it happens for you. And then the important aspect is the carp hooks. One of the good carp techniques to make sure you use is that you should make sure you use the strongest equipment that you can at all times. And this is tackle your hooks. And especially if you're going to fish in areas where there's a lot of weed, or you plan to catch a specimen carp, or you plan to catch another big fish. So always remember that you're going to have faith in the durability of the gear that you're using. And it's going to be a sharp hook. It's going to be something that is very, very strong. You're going to be able to replace it to be on the safe side with a higher quality hook if need be at that time. Remember that you don't go out there and blame it on the tackle. You don't blame it on the tackle, although I know many fishermen do that ultimately, but you don't have that reason and say, only if my tackle is any stronger, I would have brought it out, or it would have been easier for me, it would have been better for me. You don't want to do that. Even, remember, if you just purchase some hooks and you feel that you're going off a specimen carp fishing, and this is not going to be enough for you, then you rather go out with something that is much, much more stronger. Remember, whenever you're preparing for your carp trip, to make the most of your carp fishing adventure, there's a few more tips that we're going to go through. And this is specifically for South African carp fishing, in terms of your bait, in terms of your fish finders, in terms of the areas that you're going to be fishing, and what sort of bait to use in specific areas. That's also we're going to be mentioning a bit later in the program. We're going to go for a quick break. When we come back, inshallah, we'll continue with that discussion.
طبقات النور تجلت وشموس السعد أطلت وليالي الأمس تنادي أهلي صحبي خلاني خفقات ما أحلاها بشرى تسقي مسعاها بتخرجنا نلقاها غنت فيها ألحاني أبواي إليكم أهدي فرحا في الروح يلبي آمالا أنتم فيها غيم يسقي وجداني فلكم طال الجهد وكم قاسى قلبي وتعلم حتى فاح الروض ولاح المجد على أوطاني أعواما مرت عشناها أياما لسنا ننساها واليوم نلبي نداها بشهادات وتفاني نرفع رايات البشرى ونرجل شكرا تترى الكل يهني ففرى مجدي عزي عنواني بوحي يا كل الآثار بكراك غيث مدرار اليوم رحيلي يحتار والشوق هما بجناني ودعنا أعذب أيام مرت بنجاح وسلام وسنهدي كل الأوطان راية خير وأمان خفقات النور تجلى وشموس السعد أطلى وليالي الأمس تنادي أهلي صحبي خلاني خفقات ما أحلاها بشرى تسقي مسعاها بتخرجنا نلقاها غنت فيها الحاني.
Screaming Reels on Radio Islam is casting you into the exciting world of fishing.
Welcome back to Radio Islam International. Well, we were speaking about some tips with regards to your carp fishing, and we said that very, very important to make sure that your tackle is strong, your tackle is good. You don't go out there and use tackle that is not good at all. Now, how do you actually prepare for that trip to make the most of your carp fishing adventure? Try to plan ahead for anything that could come up. If you arrive prepared, you'll always have a more enjoyable and productive time. So one of the tactics that people often overlook is that you need more than just a bottom bait if the fish happen to be swimming higher up. You also need to have some floating bait with you and be sure that you come dressed for the weather. This includes the right clothing, shoes, all this. If you're not comfortable, you're not going to enjoy your trip anyway. Imagine you go out fishing and you don't have the proper gear for it. You are not prepared for it. Ultimately, that whole day, you're just going to be so uncomfortable. You're not going to be free on your own. And really, it's not just like I always say, it's not just about the fishing. It's about the enjoyment, the relaxing day that you have. All of this you've got to take into account. And if you have all of this here available and you have the comfort with you, if you have that good company with you, if you have your family with you, ultimately, by the end of the day, whether you do catch that fish or not, you would have a wonderful day. It's not going to be just about the fishing itself. Now, the location, just like the timing is everything when you are fishing, and the timing, like now we're saying, going into the summer months, this is about the best time to go out on the waters. The most important tactics to remember, this is very true, because remember, you cannot catch carp that are not where you are fishing. You can't go there and expect it to happen if there is no fish in that specific area of us. So this is the case. You need to keep your eyes on the water to see exactly where the fish are. If you really want to catch a large quantity of fish, you need to keep your eyes open early in the morning, where you will see where the fish are coming up to feed, but also where to cast out your line to improve your chance of seeing. We spoke earlier on, we said where the polarized sunglasses sort of a thing, where this allows you to see just below the surface of the water, where it removes the glare from the water. So this is also something very, very important. We've got to know and understand exactly where. In the early part of the morning, is we see where those fish are going to be. Another great tool, of course, if you are going with your boat, is a fish finder. It is going to show you how deep the water is, where the structures are that the carp might be hiding. You might want to avoid it if you know that the carp are fishing in the clear waters. So it just depends where they are. And this is something very important because of temperature, because of the depth of the water, the drop-offs in the water itself, and the structure beneath the water as well. Then another important thing is a couple of the biggest carp in South Africa were caught within meters of the bank. Now, this was, you think, how is this possible? It's the biggest and sometimes the only real feature available or reachable. Every dam, lake or river has margins to fish and are all a great source of food. Remember, if you try to change things, although fish form habits, but they are still wild animals, meaning that a similar baiting of fishing styles in areas where you fish will make them wary. So try washing out your baits to make them look older, natural liquid, powder combinations, all of this, different shapes, sizes, colors. This could catch the fish in different ways. And like I said, that closer to the banks, especially this time, you might pick out the bigger ones. You might pick out those bigger fish. Now, another important thing is thinking that the fish are going to swim right at you when you decide to go out to the lake. This, it's not going to, it doesn't make sense. But remember that you need to treat each fishing area with its own features differently to guarantee your fishing trip is a good one. Even when you have gone out to the lake every day for weeks and left food for the fish, they still may not come to the area where you are. But remember, when you're fishing for carp, especially using this feeding method, you are training the fish to come to a specific area more often as they're starting to learn there is a good spot to get food. Remember, you are basically spoiling the fish, telling the fish that, listen, in this area is where the food is. In this area is where the food is. So if you keep on feeding that specific area, Allah has made it so that these fish even now start understanding and realizing that, listen, this is where the chow is, this is where the chow is. So even they're going to come out to that area, and naturally, you're going to have it much more easier fishing. You're going to have fishing much more easier in those sort of areas. So these just few tips, your research to understand the basic procedures, the right equipment, the bait, of course, that is the main cause of fishing. I mean, you can't go without bait. The location, like we spoke about, the location, very, very important. So that you're going to go on about it, the location, which is very, very important. You've got to know, you've got to have an idea of where your fish have chosen to spawn, the areas. All of that, very, very important. Checking the weather. You've got to check the weather. Also something very, very important, you've got to dress for success. You got to take your stuff with you. Remember, if you have your food, if you have your bug sprays, if you have your clothing, if you're comfortable and you're ready to go out on that trip, then you got to make sure everything will be in order and you would have a comfortable and you would have a good fishing trip overall. Well, it is now 8:36. You are listening to Radio Islam International, the Screaming Reels program. Just a reminder that today at about 8:50, we're going to have to wrap up the program as we have an outside broadcast for today. In the meantime, we're going to be crossing over to Brother Farooq Hassan. We're going to be speaking about the park and more about animals in the jungle. Brother Farooq with us on the line this morning. Farooq, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
Farooq, you sound like you're out somewhere in the jungle again today.
not yet, but I'm actually I'm just trying to park the car. We're busy just going into a meeting at about 9 o'clock.
Right.
To discuss the trails that that Hussein spoke about last week and the one we did 2 weeks ago. So yeah, we feel it, and it's in the north of the Pretoria. So it is a little bit of a better feel than what we have in Joburg.
Mm-hmm. Alright.
Tomorrow, just to give you a little bit of a. Or to tell you all you city guys that we will be inshallah tomorrow in the bush as well for a week.
So for a week?
We've got two trails on. So we'll be away from tomorrow till Wednesday for one trail, and then Thursday we start another one till the next week Sunday. So alhamdulillah we'll get a good full of the bush for the next week.
Sure. Is this going to be at the Kruger Path?
At the Kruger Path.
Now, you know, Farooq, in this week, someone actually asked me this question, and I thought, well, who better to ask this question than yourselves, knowing the area so well. Someone sent me a message in the week wanting to find out exactly now, for the first time, a person going out to the park, what sort of accommodation do they look for? How do they go about going to the park? And what do they plan, or how do they plan?
Okay, first of all, it's actually very, very user-friendly. Very, you can get onto the website sanparks.org. That's sanparks.org. That's the official South African National Parks website. Right now, it's very vast. Remember, it encompasses all the 21 national parks in the country. So you can click on, they give you an option of the different parks. You can click on Kruger National Park and it tells you about the different camps when you get onto the Kruger National Park link. There's obviously now, sure, I can't even remember, 20 odd camps in the park. So depending on where you want to stay and where you'd like to be, the south is generally, when I say the south, is generally very, very busy. It's easier to access for us from Johannesburg. Naturally, depending where you're living, where you're leaving from, what you're looking for, because the park has got very different, it's very diverse in terms of its flora and fauna, because it's in an area or the topography is very, it varies from north to south. Just to digress a little bit before we come back to how to book your accommodation. Remember the park, like we said, I think we mentioned it before, the size of the park is about 2 million hectares. Right? From east to west, it spans at about 60 kilometers from north to south, about 380. So it's very vast. The park itself is larger than a few countries in Europe. Coming back to your question now, depending on where you want to be, what you're looking for, or naturally, any first-time visitor would like to see Big Five or they want to see cats. The best place to see that is in the south of the park. Now, when we say the south of the park, anything from Satara down. Satara is more or less in line of Hoedspruit. So your entry gates are Crocodile Bridge, which is very close to Komatipoort. You've got Malalaan Gate, which is about 5 kilometers outside Malalaan town. Coming towards the west, you've got Numbi Gate, which is fairly close to Hazyview, just south of Hazyview. A little north of Hazyview, you've got Pabeni Gate. North of that, you've got Paul Kruger Gate. And slightly about 60, 70 kilometers north of that, you've got Open Gate. All these are access points into the south of the Kruger Park. So if you want to book accommodation, you get onto the Sandparks website. You can click on, there's obviously a couple of toolbars on top there to check accommodation availability, see what is available at which camp. You can click on each camp to see what facilities are available in that camp. The accommodation facilities are very, very much similar across the board. Right, they vary in price as well. The cheapest form of accommodation. There are some huts in Pretoria's Kop. I'm not too sure what the price is now, but it's in a region of about 400 rand per night, base rate of two people. All there is two beds with a basin and there's communal facilities. For those that want to camp, there's the option of camping. Naturally, you camp in within the larger camp, so it is fenced off. The camp is well secured, communal ablution, communal kitchen facilities, unless you have, you can be self-sufficient in terms of your camping equipment. Then they've got bungalows, which generally sleep 2 to 3 people. That is in the region of about 1,000 rand per night, price rate of 2 people. Then you have guest cottages that sleep between 4 and 6 people. Then you have the guest houses, which can take a family group. Guest houses are generally very difficult to get accommodation-wise, especially over long weekends, because big groups tend to book it out, but not to say that you can't get it. That costs you in the region of about 2,500 rand for a base rate of, I think, 4 people. But now bear in mind that your accommodation in the park is not all you pay for. You've got to pay a conservation fee of every day that you are spending in the park. So if you're spending one night in the park, you're going to pay a conservation fee for 2 nights, for 2 days per person, which is at the moment about 66 rand a person. Mm-hmm. But if you do have a wild card, you don't pay for that, because you pay a once-off fee for the year and you can access any national park, and there are some other private parks, or not private parks, provincial parks that you can go in without paying conservation fee. So if you're living close to the park, many people in the Lowveld probably have this card, whereby they enter the park on a daily or on a weekly basis, maybe for a Sunday afternoon drive or Sunday morning to an afternoon drive. You produce your wild card and you don't pay at all. You can have a family card and you just drive in, and that's all you pay is your yearly fee for the wild card.
So what's the price more or less for a wild card?
It ranges from about, if I can recall correctly, about 800 rand per family card.
Okay.
So it is very good, and it can work out very well if you even go in as a family for a week. Because remember now, you're going to pay 66 rand per person per day that you spend in the park. Mm-hmm. So we can calculate, if you go in as a family of four, it's going to cost you 66, 120, 172. It's going to cost you probably in a region of about 250 rand per family per day. Right, so if you're spending two nights in the park, it's going to cost you about 750 rand in conservation fees only for your family of four over the 3 days, two nights stay. So that will pay for your wild card for the year, and then you've got access to the park or to any national park conservation fees wise, where you don't pay. You can go in as a day visitor, where you don't pay conservation fees at all. This is something very important that we mention it, because sometimes, you know, we tend to look at the accommodation and we think, okay, that is all it's going to cost you. And then, you know, you get to the gate and they tell you, hey, conservation fees. And we don't understand how it works. We don't know. And, you know, sometimes when you need to pay extra and you're working on a budget, it can be a little difficult at times. So, gee, coming back to the question on the Sandparks website, or you can call Sandparks Central Reservations. I can't remember now what the number is. I really can't remember what the number is. Okay. You call Sandparks Central Reservations if you've got a date that you have identified, and if you know more or less where you would like to stay, then they generally ask you how many people are you, where would you like to stay, which camp, for which specific dates, and then they check on the system what is available, and they book it for you like that.
Okay, perfect. With regard to this aspect of the conservation fees that you go to pay, but I think, Farooq, ultimately, I mean, going into the park, for those people that have been there, I mean, you see the cleanliness part of it, and of course the reason behind it, then you think to yourself, I mean, the fee is not all that bad also.
True. Sometimes we think it's a little expensive, because obviously for us, sometimes we think that, you know, these places are catering for the foreigners, which sometimes it does seem to be. But we don't realize what happens in the background. Like you mentioned, keeping the place clean. You know, sure. we don't see what is happening. Something that, if we can just digress, if we look at, for those that travel or that visit the park very often, if you look at the condition of the roads in the Kruger, it's better than some of the roads in our country, you know, some of the national
Definitely.
Roads. You know, you wouldn't, I don't think I've ever seen a pothole on the tar road in the Kruger.
Uh-uh.
So the maintenance, just the maintenance of the roads is done at such a good level, or such a high degree, that we tend to overlook it, but remember it comes at a cost.
Yes.
And there's so many other things, you know. We don't understand the amount of work that goes in the background to keep things functioning. And obviously because everything comes at a cost. You know, so yeah, it does cost a lot to keep the place running.
Sure, definitely. Definitely, no doubt. So, anything else? We've got like 2 minutes left before we wrap up for today. Maybe it's just some plans for this coming week. I know you guys said the whole week you're going to be out there. How do you go out there for the whole week, Farooq? Is it in between? You guys get a break where you come out of there for that Wednesday, or do you just ride through that 6 days full?
Okay, this particular one we're going to is not the same camp where we've been on the Rustic Miari camp that we were on 2 weeks ago. We're going to be at the place called Sand River Bush Camp.
Okay.
This is the one where we spend in a camp. It's a fenced off camp in a tent. You sleep on a bed.
Okay.
We've got hot water, like we mentioned previously, hot water via gas geysers. We've got flushing toilets. So alhamdulillah, it's not bad. The trail runs from tomorrow to Wednesday, and then Wednesday, we wait, obviously, spend Wednesday night, and Thursday the next trail starts. So there's a group of guys coming in tomorrow who's going to be on khidmat for the guests, and then they leave on Wednesday, and then the next group will arrive now on Thursday. It's just fortunately I'll be there now for this one and the next one, so I stay over until next week Sunday.
So until next week Sunday, you said?
Until next week Sunday, G.
So you think next week Saturday we will get some report back on it?
I doubt very much, because at this time we're going to be out walking. And signal is again the issue, so we may not. So
the following Saturday, inshallah, I think
the following Saturday, inshallah, we can give a report back on what happened and what it was like. Hopefully, we can get somebody to talk about their experience.
Perfect.
On the train, inshallah.
Inshallah. Farooq, jazakumullah for your time this morning, inshallah, and we'll catch up with you next week, if not then the following Saturday.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, just a minute left before 10:02. We're going to catch up on a few ads, inshallah. Thereafter, we have our live crossover to the Nizamiya Masjid, and that is for the Quran competition that will be aired live on Radio Islam International this Saturday morning.